In studying today's gospel reading, if I was to make a list of all the ways that people choose sides, or in another way, are divided, it would take several pieces of paper. I mean, even within Murfreesboro, there's people that sort of live and dwell on the other side of 24, right? Very seldom do they come on this side. So we're divided by a highway, physically and sometimes relationally. There's a division by which school you go to. Oakland, Riverdale, Siegel, and all of that. And there's good school spirit about it. But sometimes it divides us in not only just where we school, but in our hearts. There's a division between the north side of town and the south side of town. You know, there's just some parts people don't go to. There's division about whether you're a native-born Tennessean or whether you're a transplant. And since this town has grown from 75,000 in 2000 when Gwen and I and Jana came, and we're now over 130-some thousand, there's a whole lot of outsiders in our area, right? But I'm one of them. I wasn't born in Tennessee. Then there's the division if you're not a Southerner, if you're a Yankee, or worse, California. Like I am. There's all kinds of ways, not just poverty, wealthy, and that kind of thing, not just young and old, although that creates division. Division between denominations. Boy, that too can be ugly. There's all kinds of ways in which it seems like, okay, there's a line in the sand. And then you even have division within the family. And Jesus is talking about in the family. But he's not talking about because there's age involved. He's talking about because he's involved. Which is really, it seems like, a contradiction to everything we celebrated at Christmas. And all that was accomplished at Easter. The angels sing, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Remember that part, right? The word peace. And if you go back further, before Christ came, you go back into the Old Testament, you know, you think about how God called Israel to be his very own and chose Abraham, that he would have more numerous descendants than the sand, you know, the grains of sand. There's all kinds of ways in the Old Testament and in the early Gospels we hear about this peace and God reconciling the world to himself. There are some division times, the flood, in the days of Noah, said no one was righteous, or with the event of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. We learn about there was a division then. We learn about King Ahab and his queen Jezebel and how they worked against God. That was a division, and there smack dab in the middle of that was a prophet, and he had a bullseye on his chest because he was for God. He wasn't for the false gods. Division isn't new, but it's not something we normally think about. When we think about the message of Christ, we think about forgiveness, reconciliation. In marriage, and it's interesting, the text doesn't say husband against wife or wife against husband. In marriage, there's this oneness in Christ. The two are made one, united in Christ. And yet in our world, there's division. There's the fun stuff. Let's have a pick-me-up basketball game, you know, and we'll play 5-on-5. And yeah, we will compete. But when we do that, it still is brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we watch a football game together, maybe you're for the other team, then the one I want to win. We can still laugh and have fun. But this division is not fun, because this division that is in this chapter of Luke is about life and about death, about faith and unbelief. And in our world today, I don't think it's any different. People want you to be on their side, right? You're supposed to agree with me. And so you can see that in the realm of politics. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. You can see it in the realm of sports. You can see it in the realm of where are we going to vacation? And one member of the family is saying this place, and another says this place, and yet each one wants everybody to agree with themselves. Well, Jesus tells us that there's a division. He didn't come to bring peace. In a way, he came and he brought conflict. It's conflict because of sin. It's conflict because people want to follow their sinful passions, or people want to follow a lie, or people want to follow some sort of modern kind of thinking that God would say, don't do that. People want to follow and do what they want to do, and when God speaks against it, people turn away from God. And when God's people speak against it, the same thing happens. People turn away from God's people. In the realm of, if you think of the church as a business, you know, it is so tempting. If you want a worldly successful church, you have to proclaim a message to be popular. You have to avoid certain issues, or you have to, I would say, disagree with the scriptures in order to have the multitudes come in, and anybody with any attitude, with anything, comes in and says, oh yeah, I'm accepted here, when God's word says that's not true. The sin is not welcomed. The sinner is welcomed. And that's a difference. For God calls us all into his family. God calls us all into this peace of Christ. That means that our sins are forgiven and God's wrath is no longer upon us. God calls us into that kind of relationship. But when he does that, when he gives you the gift of faith, it puts you at odds or at conflict with the world, the sinful things of the flesh. And if there's anything that we constantly hear today, it's about bullying and acceptance, right? And embracing and be loving and so forth. What we don't hear so much about today is speaking the truth in love. Think about how many times Jesus corrected. He would start off, you have heard it said of old, and then he would tell them, but I say to you, he corrected the people. Even on his way to the cross, when he was on trial, they lied about him. Jesus corrected them. When you and I live by faith, it is a choice that faith enables us to make. It is the power of faith that moves us closer to God and further away from the ways of the world. And that will create conflict. It will create division. So what do we do? How do we handle it? A couple things for you. Recognize that when people reject your faith in whom you believe, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a personal attack on Christ, but it's not about you. You know, we often do that. We often fight with people, but the fight really isn't about this. It's about conflict at work, or conflict at school, or conflict at church. you know. But I can take my frustration home and Gwen hears about it, but really, it should have been something I needed to say to Pastor Al. I don't know of anything I should have said to Pastor Al, so don't be thinking we have conflict, right? Maybe we do. But it is amazing that, you know, sometimes we fight with others, and in our human walk, in our unbelief, people do that. They fight and they make the fight about here and now and about our wills and our ways, but really it's a God issue. And instead of seeing it as a way where people are going to crush your spirit, or people are going to define your value, or people are going to label you in such a way that it demeans you, recognize it's an opportunity for you to glorify God. It's an opportunity for you to give a message that Christ died for all the stinking thinking, for all the foolish activity, for all the meanness and the cruelty that's in our heart, for all the jealousy and envy and strife. Christ died for this. To proclaim the gospel in one breath, it seems like it creates conflict because they disagree, but in another way, in that same breath, it brings the peace of Christ that surpasses all human understanding. It brings us the grace of God. It brings us mercy instead of judgment. For the judgment was upon Jesus on the cross, and God's wrath is no more for all who believe. So you and I in our walk, yeah, boy, we would love peaceful living. We would love everybody to get along. My mom and dad wished that with six kids. But it will not be so perfect until Christ comes. And that's the second thing. Not only is the conflict not about you, but the result of the conflict, we know Jesus wins. Jesus himself said, "I have overcome the world." When Christ comes, we will have the best peace, the most wonderful joy, the perfect love. And because we know this by faith, we believe this by faith, we hold on. We're willing to take on, that is, to face the conflicts of the here and now and the division. We're here as God's people. We're not going to run away. Not just that we can be in their face and all testosterone. No, that we are here with the heart of Christ, the love of Christ. And we will remain here until Christ comes. That's part of our mission. And when Christ comes, we know where we will be. We will be in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, forever and ever and ever. And now, on earth, we have a foretaste of that peace, and then we will have it in full. But we will have it. And instead of being turf-like, what we do is we get to say, we want everybody to be on God's team. And so we proclaim the gospel to those who are different. We proclaim the gospel to those who are unloving. We proclaim the gospel to those who are spiteful, mean, and bullying. We proclaim God's word. For it is by the power of the gospel that faith is created. It is by the power of the gospel that someone moves from this part of the division into the family of God, this part of the division. And every Sunday, especially here at Grace, when you receive the Lord's Supper, it is Jesus Christ in the bread and the wine, the body and blood of our Lord, who gives himself and says, "I took the judgment of the conflict, your conflict with God and everyone's conflict." And personally, we are again reminded of the peace that we have with Christ through his gift, and we are reminded, it's called communion, right? We are reminded that the unity of the faith that we have in Christ. So whether we're a Californian or a Tennessean, we are still one in Christ, and all the other kinds of divisions, they're just earthly stuff. But this, in Christ, we are united. We face conflict. We face division. And we do so with the power of the gospel. Amen.